Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
That's a bowel problem of immense proportions. What kind of life is that, Cindy? You gotta be into it, man.
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Oh, boy.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
It's hard to believe that I get paid for this. I know you're probably thinking the same thing. It's true. Woke up this morning, I had this strange little mark on my forehead, and I couldn't imagine what it was. Did I bump my head in the middle of the night while I was sleeping on the pillow? I mean, does a pillow leave a mark? I don't understand what it is. Now I'm freaking out. I think I always call a doctor or a dermatologist or a mason, or I don't know who to call. And then like an hour later, I looked in the mirror and it was gone. And that's my life. Yeah, all of a sudden you turn around and it's gone. That's what it is, man. Don't turn around. I had fish for dinner last night. Didn't catch it myself, bought it in the store. I don't know how to clean a fish. I don't know what kind of detergent to use. So I'm eating the fish and I decide to have some tartar sauce. And then I'm looking at the bottle and it says right on it, tartar sauce. And I'm thinking, where did this stuff come from? Is this supplied by dentist offices or something? Like they're cleaning people's teeth. They clean the tartar off the teeth. They put it in a jar and sell it to the Hellman's people. Ew. Somehow naming that crap on your teeth and a sauce that you put on fish shouldn't be the same. Should be different words. Just saying. I'll start off the show just commenting on the Mueller report testimony from yesterday. And I'm doing so in great belief that amongst all of us sitting here right now, I'm the only one that has read all of Volume 2 of the Mueller report from beginning to end. Yes, I read it because I pretty much had to. I don't think you have. You've probably heard of excerpts from it and things like that, but I doubt you've read it cover to cover. I don't think you have that kind of time. Unfortunately, I did. And after reading that, there is no other conclusion you can come to other than this is a fucked up situation. The guy in the White House, oh my God, what the hell's going on? It's not a conclusion. It is what's in the report. Why any Republican congressperson would defend this guy, realizing that as soon as he steps out of office, whether it be in a year and a half or in, oh God, 5.5 years. Don't even go there. The guy's going to jail. Why are you defending? Why do you think that this is all okay? I mean, come on. What are you doing this for? Is it a mafia thing? What's going on here? Wow. Read the report if you have some time. Or just trust me. It's scathing, man. It's like, there's no question about it. And the only thing Republicans can do is say, well, the report shouldn't have said that because you shouldn't have investigated that part and your report is kind of biased. Oh, no, it's not, man. It's not. It is what it is. See, I hear the president say things in tweets, on record, in interviews. This all, like, it is. It just is. I don't. Anyway. That's all I'm going to talk about it today. I think that this whole thing is a sorry, sorry situation. And anybody that defends this Trump guy is just, I don't know what your deal is, man. And even if I did, you're just, well, it's just hard to imagine who we're sharing the planet with these days. Not that I share the planet. It is my planet, not yours. I don't share. I never shared. No, either it's mine or it's yours. We don't share. There's no sharing going on. I don't share anything. When someone orders a dish at the restaurant, we don't share the dish. There's no sharing going on. I know in kindergarten, the kindergarten teacher would always say, you need to learn how to share. No, screw you. I ain't sharing nothing. Either it's yours or it's mine. If you're going to use it, I don't want it. If I'm going to use it, you don't touch it. No sharing. There's enough of everything that we don't need to share. Or let's just cut it in half at the beginning. You take that part. You own that part. I own this part. We're not sharing it at all. I'm well beyond that thing where you order a dish in a restaurant, one plate with two forks. Screw you. This is not a two-fork life, ladies and gentlemen. That's your fork. This is my fork. You take your stuff and go somewhere and eat your fork stuff. No sharing going on. Sharing? What? Who started that? Was it a kindergarten teacher? What was this sharing thing? We don't share. We don't know how to share. We don't know anything. I mean, there's the singer Cher, you know, which has nothing to do with it. It's spelled differently. We're not set up as human beings to share things. I mean, have you looked into our social mores? We don't share. We're incapable of sharing. Wait a minute, your half is bigger than mine. No, you have the last two pieces. I'm full. You didn't have enough. You have the last two. Oh, stop that drama. Just shut up. Just stop sharing. We can all get along that way. Just shut up.
Shut up!
No sharing. Yesterday I was sitting in my house, which is what I do. I don't stand in my house. There's no reason to stand up in a house. You sit down. You stand up when you're going places. You stand up to get around something. You stand up when you want to be heard or to get from one place to the other. You don't stand up in your house. You don't just walk to the center of your house and just stand there. You don't watch TV standing up. You don't eat your dinner standing up. You sit down in your house. So I was in my house yesterday, and the doorbell rang, and I went to the door to see to whom it was. Grammatically, you know, that's absolutely wrong. I run to the door. I don't know why I ran. I figure that's an exercise thing. I get to the door, and I look out the door, and I see a UPS man running away from my house. And there at my door is a package from UPS, the United Parcel Service of America, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your service. But this UPS guy is like running from my house like there's going to be a gas explosion or something. He gets in his truck and he drives away. And this is a new practice. I know it's been done before, but to have somebody ring your doorbell and then run away as fast as they can seems like a prank to me. It's like, it brings me back to my childhood when kids used to fuck with each other. Now UPS is trying to screw with my head. Okay, here's the deal. Drop the package, ring the doorbell, and run as fast as you can so they don't see you, so they think it magically appeared at your door. No, you can't do that. You have a gigantic brown truck. By the way, who came up with that color scheme? I mean, Federal Express has got that orange thing going, you know? It's orange and purple, I think it is, or something? Or is that Dunkin' Donuts? I'm not sure which. But, I mean, they have some nice-looking trucks. Amazon has a white truck with that big Amazon logo on the side. You get some really fancy-looking trucks. And at UPS, like, well, I don't know. What color do you want to make the truck? Let's make it the color of shit. How about that? You know, let's make it the most uninteresting, boring, disgusting, feces-colored truck we can find. Should we put a design on it? No, don't bother. In the corner, you can put like a little logo, like it looks like a package, and then says UPS. I mean, but let's not make that a big thing on the truck. Just drive it around like it's a big piece of crap or something. Okay, you sure that's the way you want it? Well, how do you want it? What kind of uniforms do you want? Do you want something snappy or something that looks efficient, you know, like that? Like the, you know, maybe the illustration of Mercury, you know, not the thermometer stuff, but, you know, that Greek god kind of guy, you know, ran around as a messenger. That would be good. No. Let's just dress our delivery people in the same color as the truck, you know, that shit brown kind of stuff. And let's just make them look like moving feces. I think that would be attractive. Okay, that's the way you want to do it. So that's what they do, man. They ring your doorbell and then they run away. Every once in a while, I'll see if I can get there really fast so that I can yell "thank you" as they're running. But apparently, they go through training to see how fast they can run away from doors. I don't know. They don't want to be thanked. They just want to, like, drop it and run. Why are you even ringing my doorbell if you're not going to interact with me? I guess what they're doing is, if you're home, I'm telling you that I dropped a package at your front door, and in your curiosity to see who it is at your door, you will see the package. I don't know who came up with that either. Other people don't do that. I mean, I get delivery of the Sunday paper at like 4 a.m. They don't ring the doorbell and run away, although they should. It's strange stuff, man. When I was growing up, oh, Ron, you're going to do one of your growing up things again? Yeah, I'll do a growing up story. Are you into it? You're kind of getting really sick of that. Come on, let's do it.
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
When I was growing up, things were a lot different. I lived in a small suburban town in New Jersey. Yeah, it was like a Leave It to Beaver kind of deal there, and we lived in a house with a front door. In those days, and I remember this so distinctly, and I would never do this now, and haven't for decades and 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 decades. But back then, we would leave the front door open. We had a screen door. Some people call it a storm door. Oh, there's going to be a storm. Let's put an extra glass door on the house there. That'll protect the house. Storm door, my ass. But that would the front door would be open. Like anybody could just walk in. They never did, but it could. They could have. But in those days, that didn't happen a lot. It happened, but not a lot. Not in suburban neighborhoods, my God. And we used to get people coming to the door to try to solicit things. You don't get a lot of that anymore. But in those days, they had people selling stuff door to door. and they knock on the door, ring the doorbell, and the front door would be open. It was just a real trust thing. And they would try to sell you things. Vacuum cleaners, steak knives. That was scary, the steak knife part. Somebody coming to my door with a whole bunch of sharp implements. I'm supposed to just trust that they're going to just talk to me. And they were some pretty seedy looking people. Yeah, there were people selling stuff. But the real problem, and I got this like not long ago, a couple of years ago at my house up in the Boston area. There'd be the doorbell would ring on a Sunday morning, and I'd open the door, and it's Jehovah's Witnesses. I still don't know what they are. They're very, very well dressed. I mean, I'm standing there in my underpants with my little pecker sticking out of the hole, and they're dressed like they're going to church or that they even own the church. I don't know what that would be like. I don't know how you dress like you own a church. I mean, what do you do? Oh, I own a few churches. Oh, you must be well off. Yes, basket's getting full. Yes, it is. Yeah, they're very well dressed. Sometimes they bring their little kids all dressed up too. And they stand at the door, and what they try to do, they give me a little publication called The Watchtower, which is their publication, obviously. They're not going to give me, like, Playboy or anything. And they say, we'd like to talk to you. Is your life going well? Do you believe in the Lord? And all of a sudden, they're trying to convert me into some type of an odd cult where people dress very well. And they're very, very sweet people. But they're trying to convert me at my front door, and I find that to be odd. I said, you don't want to sell me something? Well, yeah, I want to sell you the religion of Jehovah's Witness. And I, at one point I said, I don't really understand what your religion is. What did you see? Why are you going door to door? Shouldn't you be in a courtroom somewhere?
Yes, it's a... Mr. Anderson is on trial for murder in the first degree.
All right. Do you have any witnesses?
Yes, I've got 12 Jehovah's Witnesses here. They see shit. That's their job. They see things, and they are Jehovah's Witnesses. What could be a better witness than someone who's got the word witness in their title?
Okay, we'll hear them. We'll hear them then. What exactly did you people see? And what do you think that I should be seeing because I can't do that? If you just tell them to leave, they will leave. I would prefer that they just leave a package at my door, ring the doorbell and run away, to be honest with you. But you can't run that fast when you're wearing really nice clothes, I have found in the past. For women with high heels, man, I don't know how you walk in those things. I don't know why you bother. It's like you're saying to yourself, I'm a woman, how can I best punish myself? I'll wear high heels. I'll shove my foot into the toe of an article of footwear and make believe I'm walking on stilts, lose my balance. Why don't I do that to myself for like my whole life and then wonder when I turn 60 why my feet have problems? It's not like people are saying, in order to walk, you must wear these funny looking shoes. No, they do it, you know, as an option to themselves. It's a choice. Anyway, I don't understand the Jehovah's Witness thing. I really don't. And I continually ask them to explain themselves and they dance around the subject. Like a Republican at a hearing, they just don't answer the questions. They're very nice people. I said to them once, maybe when you have some spare time, we can go bowling together. But as far as the religion part is concerned, I'm not too clear on what the hell's going on here. I want to know what you witnessed, or what you thought you witnessed. We witnessed Jehovah, and Jehovah is. Some of them are quite obstinate. They will not leave no matter what you say. Doesn't make any difference. If you say, I'm smelling smoke, I believe my house is on fire. We'll get to that in a minute. I want to talk to you about Jehovah's Witnessing. Yeah, the people. And then we used to order things. We used to order pizza and we used to order fried chicken. There was a company called Chicken Delight. I'm sure you've never heard of it. It was a New Jersey thing. And you would call this phone number, and this place had, it was just a takeout place. And it franchised, I think, all across the country at that point. I'm really not sure. I was just a kid. And you would order a bucket of chicken. It's very similar to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Kentucky Fried Chicken may have actually morphed from Chicken Delight. I don't know. But it's the exact same stuff in a bucket. But it was not Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they didn't have stores. They just were delivery. That was it. But you could smell that bucket of chicken coming a mile away, man. Whoa. I often thought, like, why don't Jehovah's Witnesses become delivery drivers? That would give them a good excuse to get into their thing, you know, with the customer. So they would deliver the buckets. We had a lot of stuff coming to the door. We had a lot of traffic at the door. We really did. The front door was kind of the social location of the entire home. It wasn't the kitchen. It was the front door. Now let's fast forward to 2019. I can't believe I said that. I don't know how old you are, but sometimes don't you get freaked out that the number we have reached is 2019? And it's not that we started from zero or anything. It's just that that's a high number, man. Don't you say to yourself, I remember when it was 2010, now it's 2019? That's a lot of years. Think of how traumatic it's going to be in 2020 next year. I mean, that number is just so glaringly monumental. It's like, wow, I've been on the planet this long. And you can say that if you're 30 years old or you're 60 or you're 70 or you're 80. Man, 2020, that's a high up number. I'm getting old. I rarely think about my age, but I'm constantly writing down the year that it is on all kinds of stuff. And every once in a while, it does floor me. It's like, wow. I guess the best thing about 2020 is that they'll be able to make those New Year's Eve glasses really easily. And that's coming up really soon. 2020 is not far away. They're already manufacturing with the glasses. You need, like, you know, the oval things that go over your eyes so you can see through them. And 2020 is like the perfect year for this. I'm glad that the glasses people making the New Year's Eve glasses have it easy this year. I really do. You just shift those two over, the twos to the side, and you got the zeros of the 2020, like, right in us. That's monumental, man. It's monumental. Do you remember the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey? Do you millennials remember that? That was like, that came out in I think it was the 70s or the late 60s. I mean, incredible for its time. But in 2001, there was going to be space travel, and there's going to be shuttles going to all different planets and all this kind of stuff. And it was ironic. It was ironic, and I'll tell you why. I don't know if you've seen the movie, and if you haven't, then you're kind of wasting your time with me here for a few minutes. The main character is travels through space in these very modern space hotels and space buses and things like that. And at one point, he goes to call his child on Earth. He has a little child, and he goes into a phone booth, and there's a video screen so he can talk to his child on the screen. And at that time, back in, you know, like 1970 or something, that's speculation. Like, maybe someday we'll have something like that. Here's the ironic part. Yes, now we can video chat anywhere in the world, and probably in space too, I would guess. But the phone booth part doesn't exist anymore. There are no phone booths at all. They're gone. And it's just funny that it was in the movie, in one sense, seeing into the future with the video phones, in another sense, phone booths? No, I'm afraid that's not going to make it. I think I was just delighting myself with that story. And anyway, that's the funny story.
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
Yes, of course you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Oh, man, huh? I'm telling you, what a life we have. What a life. It's always something. I've noticed that. It's always something. You know? And when things are going well, there's always something. How's your marriage going?
Hi, I'm Steve Miller. I've been a trial lawyer in Florida and Massachusetts since 1985. If you and your spouse hate each other like poison and want to get out of the hellhole you call a marriage, you've come to the right place. Look, you can waste your money screwing around with some paper pusher paralegal type, give thousands of dollars to some piece of crap three-piece suit downtown, blow your brains out trying to figure out why you wasted $25 on the crappy forms you bought from the illiterate boob at the courthouse, or do what I say and do it now. We know what we're doing here. Look at this website, a work of art. Here's the story. Pay us a little and we get you a lot. Don't worry about the details. We'll take care of business and let you know when to crack open the champagne. Okay, time to move on. Go to the Get the Divorce page in the upper right corner, pay up, and you're on your way to getting rid of that vermin you call a spouse. We're here to help. Divorce EZ, a Florida law firm.
That's a real commercial. I know we play a lot. We do a lot of comedy commercials here that we make up and stuff by our brilliant writers, such as Mr. Shanahan, who's a wonderful person. But that's not him. That's a real commercial, and it's very effective. It's because when you're in the middle of that, sometimes that's the way you actually feel, getting rid of your vermin there. You know what I'm saying? 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 All right. I'm out of time for today, and I think that's a cause for celebration. Look, keep your eyes and ears open. Don't be fooled. Don't be a useful idiot. Command yourself. Be a commanding kind of person. That's my advice for today, which is worth absolutely nothing whatsoever at all, in the least. Have yourselves a wonderful day. It's up to you how good a day you have. I know things happen during the day, but your attitude as to how you handle them is what it's all about. I wish you peace.